Well, welcome and Merry Christmas to all. And a special welcome to all of our guests. Whether you're here for the first time, welcome. Or whether you're here for the first time in a long time, welcome. And if it's the first time you've been here in a long time, welcome home for Christmas. It's good to see you here with us this morning. We had wonderful crowds at Christmas Eve and also earlier today at the 8 o'clock Mass. And my thanks to everybody who's taken part, in, especially all throughout the time of Advent, our liturgies and special events, and also those who decorated the church yesterday and all who have served in our liturgical ministries as lectors, greeters, ushers, serving at the altar and such. Before I came to the Madeleine and came to Telus about 3.5 years ago, I spent 18 years as a priest in much smaller communities, most small towns and rural communities, in which it was often the case that I was the pastor of not only the only Catholic church in town, but may well be the only Catholic church in the entire county. And when you're in that situation, the pastor becomes, whether he likes it or not, pretty much the face of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And along with other local clergy, you might be asked occasionally to write an article for the local newspaper, particularly around this time of the year, whether for Advent, Christmas, Lent, or Easter. And it would be a challenge because you were limited to what you could say, trying to express a hopefully an important point of Christian belief, a scripture, and a theology and so on. And to do so maybe in only about 750 words. If you were lucky, you got maybe 1,000 words. So the challenge to summarize something, as you might think of it, as being brief, be brilliant, be brief, be brilliant, and be gone. And so, but we'd get a crack at it at least once or twice a year. Now, if you had to summarize the basics of the message of the gospel proclamation, and not just for Christmas, but for all of Christianity, including what it means to be the church, the body of Christ on earth, I think the gospel reading for Mass on Christmas Day, that'd be a good place to start. It's known as the prologue, or the kind of setting the stage of the gospel of John. And that prologue, it sets the stage for everything else that comes next. And it's a bit striking maybe to hear this on Christmas Day because no doubt you noticed there's no mention of a manger or a stable or shepherds or an adoring Joseph and Mary with a baby Jesus. None of that. That's the gospel reading we hear at Mass on Christmas Eve. But instead, John is saying something else as he begins his gospel, something that gets right at the heart of what this is all about. And that Christmas is not just the anniversary of the birth of Jesus, and certainly for any Christian, it must be more than a secular or non-religious event, or he or she's going to live their faith authentically. Rather, Christmas is the church's celebration of the profound reality, think of it as the mystery of faith, of what we call the incarnation. Meaning that the Word of God, the creative power of God, God the Son, becoming one of us in all things but sin, and does so to recreate creation. This is what the prologue of John is saying. In the beginning, we've heard these words before. The first three words that begin the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and telling us the story of creation. And now in John's prologue, there's the beginning of a new creation. The beginning as the Word, the very essence or act of God, comes to be the light and life of the human race. For Jesus is not just simply another historical or religious figure or a reformer, a teacher, philosopher, or so on. What John is saying in the prologue is that Jesus is God, God the Son. And no other religion makes that claim of its founder or of a key figure, not Judaism, not Islam, not Buddhism, not Hinduism. It is the distinctive Christian claim, and it is at the very heart of Christmas. This takes place, the incarnation, because God the Son desires nothing else than to restore us to grace, to buy us back, to redeem us for God, to save us from sin and death that has entered into the world through the misuse of our freedom. Because, as John tells us, the way he puts it, The light has come, but we prefer the darkness. So God the Son recreates the world through His birth and then through His cross and resurrection. His birth is the new beginning of a new creation, which we are to turn away from the darkness, conform our life to His, and to become the children of God. Now notice that we are to conform our life to His. We are not to conform Jesus to us, to our agenda, to our choices, whatever they may be. We conform our life to His and to become the children of God. For the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we saw His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That's the basics. That's the brass tacks of the gospel message and of Christianity itself. God becomes one of us so that we can become one with God. We hear in part of the opening prayer for Mass on Christmas Day that, grant we pray that we may share in the divinity of Christ who humbled Himself to share in our humanity. And that's a pretty good summation of the meaning of Christmas and of Christianity. For Christmas is not a big, warm, fuzzy, feel-good holiday that arrives each year in December and then we go on to the next big thing. Not if we're going to authentically be the church, if we're going to authentically be the children of God. It can't be just that. It must be the celebration and the acceptance of the greatest act since creation itself, that recreation of the world through Jesus Christ, the true light, which enlightens everyone and has come into the world. And as the church, we are to imitate John the Baptist, the one that is sent from God to testify to the light so that all might believe through us. You know, we hear often this time of the year the slogan, Jesus is the reason for the season. That's very nice. It's good. Fits really good on a bumper sticker. But also think of it in another way. That our testifying to the light so that all might believe is our reason for being the church. In addition to our prayer, our worship, our thanksgiving to God, that our testifying to the light so that all might believe is our reason for being as the church. Our testimony through our work and our worship, our charity, our mercy, of our recognizing that we are redeemed through Jesus, not through ourselves, and therefore to live accordingly so that all might believe through us, through our witness. On this Christmas day, we gather to encounter the ongoing incarnation of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, which is the very heart of our Catholic faith. And another nice summary statement, we can think of the Eucharist as the heart of Christmas. For in the Eucharist, Jesus is truly present, the true bread descended from heaven, the true lamb sacrificed for our salvation. That's from Pope Emeritus Benedict. That our humanity is joined to His divinity, and we are recreated. May we live as this new creation and the light who is Christ, who reveals to us the love of God the Father, now and forever. God bless you all, and a Merry Christmas.